T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
844, 16 before 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL. We've been talking all morning about these attempts to, I guess, legalize sports betting, an attempt to prevent that from happening, and now some legislative action in the final days of the legislature, because it's got to end Thursday evening at 6 o'clock, to maybe revive sports betting by linking it to fantasy betting. At 9 o'clock, we'll talk to Cameron Henry. He's had a lot to do with all of this. And we'll see, get his version of this. We're talking about vaccinations and how the number of measles cases in the United States reached a 25-year high, and there are a lot of people that are against vaccinations. I normally don't read entire texts, but I'm gonna, even though this is kind of long. It says, talking about Dr. Art Langone, this guy's a government shill. Until vaccines have all the ingredients listed on the bottle, then Americans have the right to not get tainted vaccines. Just research the European FDA that rejects 75% of them. And I decided to read all of that because the texter then accused me of creating fake news, the narrative, just like our government shill did. So I just want to clear that up. Linda Fentiman joins us now, professor of law at Pace University, author of Blaming Mothers, American Law and the Risks to Children's Health. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning. How are you, Tommy?
I should say, Professor. I'm doing fine.
That's fine.
Tell me about, you know, I said before you came on the air that I'm a libertarian in that I don't care what you do so long as I don't have to pay for it and it doesn't affect me. But when it comes to vaccinations, I guess it's not that simple, because one person's action can have a reaction from another person, right? Or can cause me to pay for it?
Yes, both, actually. So with measles, which is the subject of the current outbreak all across the country, it is extraordinarily contagious. So if you have not been vaccinated and you're in a room with somebody who has measles, you can contract it with as little as an hour's exposure. And measles is very dangerous. 1 in 1,000 people die from measles, even if they are hospitalized and get really great care. So with very contagious diseases like measles, it's important to have 95% of the population vaccinated. And that's called herd immunity. And that protects people who, for medical reasons, can't be vaccinated. Either they're elderly and frail, or they're new babies and can't yet be vaccinated, or they're people with compromised immune systems. And so all of those people are at risk from someone who decides to exercise their rights not to be vaccinated or not to have their children vaccinated. And the other way in which it costs is that the taxpayers pay for everybody who's hospitalized if there is a measles outbreak.
Historically, has there always been this type of opposition? I go back to when, I wasn't old enough to remember this, but I, as an example, I go back to the polio vaccine, where, from what I understand, polio was such a frightening and devastating thing where you could think you had a cold, people go to bed, and then either wake up paralyzed, don't wake up, what have you. But I don't think there was opposition to the polio vaccine, was there? And I guess if there wasn't, does it go to the severity or unpredictability of the disease?
So I think there was some opposition to the polio vaccine, but, and I actually am old enough to remember this, my parents, every parent I knew was praying for the Salk vaccine to be invented, because it saved thousands of lives. Hundreds of children died every year, and many, many more people were left paralyzed. And there has always been opposition to vaccination, even in the 18th and 19th centuries. some people did object to vaccination. They believed it wasn't natural, but it was developed, for example, the smallpox vaccine was developed when Edward Jenner in England discovered that milkmaids who were milking cows did not develop smallpox because their exposure to cowpox protected them. And soon people all over Europe and then the United States came to recognize that it was terrific to be protected against smallpox, since about 20 to 30% of people who were exposed to smallpox died. And so in 1905, the Supreme Court held that in the event of an outbreak of smallpox in Boston, the government could compel people to be vaccinated because of the public danger. And the idea is that even though we all have a lot of individual rights, as citizens of a community, just as we were, can be compelled to go to war, we can be compelled to be vaccinated to protect our neighbors and others in our community.
I'm going to take a break here. When we come back, more with Linda Fentiman, professor of law at Pace University, author of Blaming Mothers, American Law, and the Risks to Children's Health, as we talk about the legal aspects of vaccination. Somebody texted in and said, another damned vaccines. Well, when does it end with the government forcing me and telling me what it is I have to do? We'll address it when we come back. 850 traffic now, WWL. 855, 5 before 9, talking about vaccinations. And Linda Fentiman is our guest, professor of law at Pace University, author of Blaming Mothers, American Law, and the Risks to Children's Health. I got to ask, professor, what's the book about?
The book is about the way that our unconscious thoughts, our unconscious stereotypes about mothers influence the decisions of doctors, nurses, prosecutors, judges, and juries, and make it more likely that mothers are held responsible for problems with their children's health than other people, even if the other person or other corporation, is doing harm to the children. So, for example, women are prosecuted when their boyfriends injure their child or their husbands injure their child, even though the woman has not done anything. So it's complicated, but it's all about the unconscious and how we have many mental shortcuts that convince us to view a situation as risky. And risk is more likely to be seen when it's the mother who's involved than anybody else.
Sounds like a fascinating read. When it comes to, they got the old saying about your freedom to swing your arm or wave your arm in the air ends where my nose begins. Is that basically what we're talking about with vaccinations here?
I think we can look at it that way. And I guess if we do, the answer is, your freedom as a parent ends when your decision not to vaccinate your own child creates a risk for my child. So because of the need for herd immunity with highly contagious diseases like measles, if one child comes to school who isn't vaccinated, that can pose a risk, and that child has measles, which she may have acquired through a relative's birthday party, for example, then everybody in that school can be infected. And I think that is the public safety ground for requiring vaccination.
Before we run out of time, I'm sorry, doctor, as far as the law goes, can the government force you to have your child vaccinated? Can they force you to be vaccinated? Or can they just exert pressure in a roundabout way? As in, okay, fine, your kid can't go to public school, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. So the government can say your kid cannot attend public or private school. In times of emergency, the government can say you can't come to a public place. You know, the government did that in the Spanish flu epidemic of the early 20th century, when it was so contagious that the government limited people gathering in public places. So usually the government will let you risk your own child's health, except in very rare circumstances, but it's not going to let you put the health of other people's children.
You know, I remember when we had an Ebola scare, I don't know if it was two, 3 years ago, and everybody was in the hazmat suits, et cetera.
Right.
Is it still legal for the government to quarantine people?
Oh, yeah. But they have to have good ground. It is legal, and it makes sense if it's highly contagious. The whole idea is that there has to be science to back up the government's authority. So we do have to be concerned about government overreaching. But in the case of contagious diseases like whooping cough and measles in particular, we really do need to protect everybody's children. And parents do place other people's children at risk.
I appreciate
refuse to vaccinate.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, Professor. I'm sorry. Linda Fentiman, Professor of Law at Pace University. The book is called Blaming Mothers, American Law and the Risks to Children's Health. And you can get that at all the usual outlets. We're going to take a break. Minutes from now, we'll talk.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.